This is Come On, Dude.
We took a little hiatus there for a few weeks. The holiday season, along with some other events, definitely got us off our game, if you will. But we're back. We have a completed season of Boom Goes Dynamite that we're going to get you updated to. But also, I'm joined here today by Zach and Booby. How are we doing?
We're doing good.
I'm as good as I could be.
And you'll find out why here in a little bit. But my little game we have today is, you guys aren't really going to understand it maybe, but we're going to start with the NBA. So think of all NBA players you know. Okay. Now think of, off the top of your head, how many nicknames of NBA players do you think you could name off the top of your head right now without looking them up? And what I mean by that is, I'm going to give us one because we're all thinking of it, is Giannis is the Greek freak. So, like, what are they known by? Okay. Think about how many you can name off the top of your head. And then, Booby, since you're more NBA, I'm going to let you answer for NBA, but then we're also going to do NFL after the fact because I'll let Zach go first for NFL. So, just off of a number, you can change it once Zach responds to it. So, Booby, you get first choice. How many nicknames can you name off the top of your head?
Like, I don't think I could name the number, but like, I could just start listing some off.
No, you got to give me a number because then if you don't get to that number and you start naming the names, then Zach gets a point.
I could name four.
Zach, can you do more than four?
I'd probably do nine.
Can you do more than nine, Booby?
I could be close if we
No.
just start going back and forth.
You do more than nine or no?
I'll give him the edge at nine.
All right, Zach, say you're nine.
All right, so you said Giannis doesn't count.
Yeah.
Okay, so the King, LeBron, Joker, Jokic, the Process, Embiid, Brody, Westbrook. Are we able to count retired players?
Yeah. Let's just separate them.
Flash was D Wade, Diesel was Shaq. The Babyface Assassin is Curry. Slim Reapers, KD. What is that, eight? And then the Stifle Towers, Rudy Gobert.
What?
The Stifle Tower.
I personally have not heard that one. Maybe I have it just on a while,
The
but
Brow is AD. The Claw is
we get
Kawhi.
it. You got nine. That was just saying off the many of you at the top of your head.
Spider.
Yep.
Spider.
Now, Zach, off the top of your head, how many NFL? You can do former players too.
Oh man. Probably like five if I'm gonna be I there's not I feel like you refer to NFL players by their last names or their names. I feel like it's more like iconic in a way.
Ruby, can you do more than five?
No, I hate this game.
Let's hit it, Zach. Give me five.
The GOAT, Tom Brady. Discount Double Check, Rodgers, the Sheriff, Peyton Manning. Sweetness, Walter Payton, Juice, OJ Simpson.
That's fine.
After that, it
That's
gets tough.
fine. That's fine.
You didn't say Cheetah?
Yeah, Cheetah. That's a good one. Beast Mode, Sauce, but that's his legal name now.
Is it his legal name?
I'm dead serious.
Kind of awesome. Kind of awesome. But okay, so as we were on our hiatus from fantasies, past 2 weeks, we had the fantasy football semis and we had the fantasy football finale. So I'm going to let Zach kind of recap our semis for us. And then, Booby, if you could recap the final for us just as
No.
scores and who won and things like that.
No. You
Why?
can do
What do you
that.
mean? Why?
The, are you
I don't want
talking?
to do it.
Your baby.
Okay.
Are you talking about the championship, third place, and garbage bowl?
Nope, semis. We're doing semis first. What happened in the semis? Because it was you versus Liam and, or no, you, yeah, you versus Liam and Jordan versus Booby.
Well, Jones took out the trash with me. Because my team played like shit. And I mean, it sucks that I had to play him in the playoffs. Booby got to face that too. So did Mertz. But yeah, so Jones kind of just wiped the floor with everybody. Scherff pulled out the win on Jordan. It was a pretty good game on that end.
Monday Night Thriller. And
Jordan beat Joel, which didn't really surprise anybody. But honestly, it would have been crazy if Joel would have went on a run.
It would have been. But that leaves us after those, those results that our one and only Booby Doe Scherff made it to the state championship game against Liam Sister Lee Jones. And that was our championship game. And then Zach and Jordan played for third place. And let's start with championship first. Zach, if you know, let you talk about the third place game. Booby, I don't know why you can't explain your game. Because you're the one that was paying attention the most to it.
I mean, Mike Evans. Well,
before we get into my game, I think we got to shout out Jones for putting together a team that just peaked late. He had a lot of playoff players that are relied upon in big games, and at the end of the year, you know, got to lean on your go-to guys. And my God, did Tom Brady lean on Mike Evans? Like, there's been nothing like it. Reminding me of the Kamara game Lang had.
It's
pretty
me.
Wild. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a performance to remember. I'm sure Jones might get a Mike Evans jersey. No, but not much Booby could do there. And then Nick versus Levi's game ended a week before, and Levi kind of ran away with it, even though if it would have been three games, who knows? I didn't do the math, but JJ did nothing. So who knows what would have happened.
Neither did Kirk, though. But to kind of elaborate more score-wise for the championship game. So this was just kind of a bittersweet's not the right word of how this season ended, but I'm not talking about the third place game yet. Just like full circle, if you will, right? Because we start off the year talking about how Jones, we talk about who's the worst and best fantasy player, right? A lot of people had to say Vert, some said my name, but then one person that really came out and said Jones's name was Nick. And he kind of brought up how he one doesn't pay attention and this or that. And you know, that definitely probably woke him up a little bit. Would you guys agree?
Yeah.
I'd say Jones definitely, like, he pays attention. I mean, outside of the Pollard situation in the playoffs, I think Jones learned his lesson and really buckled down and learned from the mistake, and it showed.
Yeah, so, like, we go from that, and then he drafts a player that was just nowhere near in contention of getting any snaps, right? So then we make fun of him for that, and drafting D-Hop right after, who was hurt, right? So just looking at it right away, just face value, everyone's like, oh, my God, Liam, what are you doing? Like, you're going to take last. Like, your team's a joke, yada, 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 okay? Dude goes 3-3. He says he wants to, and then he climbs all the way back from all the shit that everyone's talked about him this year in the beginning, and then his draft strategy, and he ends up winning the whole damn thing. So I just thought that was kind of first season on the podcast to have that happen full circle. Was just kind of unique, and I actually appreciated it as much as Booby wanted to win in that championship game. You know, I don't think he could have had a better ending for anyone not named Booby, just because after everything that was talked, that's why you play fantasy football. It shows, Joel said it again, you can't judge anybody's team based off their draft because you never really truly know what's going to happen, right? Because going into that championship game, DeAndre Hopkins was out, correct?
Yeah.
And he was sitting not pretty. He was not liking where his team was at. And then Mike Evans, who's kind of struggled up and down all year.
DJ Moore as well.
Yeah. Those two guys put together boom games and end up winning the whole thing for him, which is not a small sum of money, regardless of having the title. It's not a small sum of money that he ended up winning. So that was my thoughts on Liam winning. Do you two have any other thoughts?
Just bummed, man.
I think you need to talk more about how he managed his team throughout the season versus how he drafted. Just like with the Lang trade, like that just panned out. And even on the waiver wire, picking up Pacheco after multiple people picked him up and dropped him, took a chance on him, and it just panned out. So he did a good job managing. I mean, drafting, I would say it was a little questionable, but he made a huge trade, completely changed the trajectory of his season. So hats off.
And it was just funny how the dynamic of the season kind of went on, right? In the beginning, everyone's up in arms, chirp here, chirp there. But some people start to fall off for reasons of team's doing well, I'm not going to say anything. You've got people like myself and probably Verts that really never stopped talking, whether they were down or up. And eventually, some point, Verts ended up quieting down. And then it was just kind of cool to see the evolution of players and managers throughout the season, right?
Yeah, I would like to add that. I mean, I know I sound bummed, and I haven't really gave a lot of credit to Liam, like, while we're recording this right now. But, I mean, I FaceTimed him after the game was over the next morning when I woke up and congratulated him and let him know that I was impressed by his season and whatnot. And, you know, he did an excellent job this year. And I just, you know, you feel like you have the better team and it doesn't come down to that when it comes to fantasy. That's obviously an opinion, and I get that, but it just hurts when you're just sitting at a bar when you're hungover after New Year's and you're watching Mike Evans score and then score again and then score again, and you're looking at the box score, you're like, huh, he's got 11 catches for 200 yards and 3 touchdowns, and the noon slate isn't even over, and, like, the game is over. Yeah. Like, I mean, McCaffrey put up 30, and it didn't even put a dent in the projection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to your point, you did have a very, very good team, if not the best team all year, and the only game you decide not to perform in is the championship.
I didn't perform in the semifinal. I should have lost to Jordan in the semifinal. If he has Jalen Hurts, I lose. My team didn't perform the last 2 weeks of the season, but I still put up 130 both weeks, which, like, kind of was my downfall that I was, like, hinting at before I got in the playoffs. Like, I didn't have a ton of boom games this year, but I was just steadily consistent at putting up above average scoring. Like, I'm sure I'm above league average. I mean, I averaged the most points in the league, but, yeah. Like, I just, my team put up over 130 all but two times. But, like, they weren't putting up, like, 160 ever. They did it, like, twice. So I was, like, constantly putting up 130 and squeaking out a lot of wins. And, like, my team was good, but, like, Garrett Wilson was, like, hit or miss. And then you had guys like Tyler Lockett was consistent, but losing him at the end of the year and me playing him was pretty dumb in the championship. But, like, Michael Pittman almost cost me the semifinal. Like, just a bunch of weird stuff happened with my team. But I mean, looking forward to next year. Can't wait to get off this app. Should be
I just want to comment, Dylan, on, like, a bunch of players that you're talking about that underperformed. Like, I totally get why you put all your trust in a Justin Fields, but my question is,
yeah, that sucked.
I have a two-parter. Did you look up who he played in the semifinals and finals, and did you think it wouldn't matter because of how he was playing?
I looked up who he was playing as soon as I entertained the idea of trading Lamar. The package I got from Lamar outweighed my interest on whether or not I needed him to play in those games. And it's why I picked up Deshaun Watson. I took a chance. That is obviously what happened. I took a leap to, like, relying on either Deshaun or Justin Fields. And by the time it got to Eagles week, I saw that Deshaun Watson hadn't proved shit and he hasn't been good fantasy wise. So I had to roll with Fields, and it sucked. And Fields also was pretty banged up the last couple weeks and had been saying in the media that his shoulder's been hurt and that when he runs, he feels pain in his shoulder. And, like, if you've ever had a shoulder injury, Zach, you've broken your collarbone, correct? It hurts to run. Yes. Like, it hurts to run. Like, it's not just it doesn't have to just be a leg injury to impact your legs. And you saw that against the Eagles. Like, he ran for like 10 yards. And then he had one big run against the Lions, and then had 15 fantasy points in the first quarter, and he had 14 in the end of the game. So, like, it was just, I had faith in him, but I mean, yeah, it sucked rooting for a Bears quarterback. I kind of knew that this was a scenario that could play out, and CD showed up, and that's what I needed if I wanted to give myself a chance. And, you know, Lamar was doing the same thing that, and Lamar isn't even available, so that's another thing to put into this. But, you know, Lamar was doing what Fields has done the last 2 weeks consistently for like 5 weeks, and I was done with it. Took a chance. CD won me my semifinal game. Played, put up 20 in the final. I don't regret it at all.
Yeah. So that's how our championship game ended. Booby takes second. Liam Jones is our league winner for Boom Goes the Dynamite. Congratulations to him. Now, our third place game. Before we kind of talk about the point scoring, just going to briefly say that whatever happened during that game is obviously not something that we ever want to see again. But after we had all took a day or two to think about it, it was time to talk fantasy. And Zach, I'll let you elaborate on what happened with the score so far.
So I don't really want to spend too much time on this just because I already said my piece in the chat and it's going to be like a lot of reiterating. But basically what can't happen is games that like mean something in our league where we have an extra week to spare. I feel like there should be playoff rules to account for things like this. Like I lost because Dawson Knox didn't have a catch for 10 yards. So this wasn't like some outlandish, I need Christian McCaffrey to have as much points as Mike Evans. It was the smallest thing in the world that I feel like as a league that prides itself on competition and slander, like there's no way the council would have voted this way. Like if this was Dylan and Jones game, this would have been no question. In my opinion, that's my opinion. I get it. A lot of people don't agree with it, but since we have another week, how could you award like a championship to someone like that? Or how could you tell, like if this was Nick versus Levi, that they have to get shot with paintballs? Like, I understand the third place game really doesn't mean too much. And I feel like that did affect the voting. And I just got to say hats off to Krieger for being the bigger person and saying he'd split the pot no matter like what happens. Like, I don't care if he has the win. It really wasn't about the money for me. It was just, man, dude, like I couldn't imagine being in the garbage bowl. And this is how the league decides to handle it when we have an opportunity to have special playoff rules with an extra week of football to make up for it. Now, if this is during the year, like people are going to bring up probably like, oh, well, what if this is to get into the garbage bowl or what if this is to get into the playoffs? That's when we don't have the luxury of an extra week. But when we do, it just rubbed me the wrong way. I mean, some people might think that I handled it poorly, but I don't know. I'm very competitive in this league and we're starting to play for more money and like the bragging rights is ridiculous. There's a champions chat. People have dinners for it. People have losers chat that Mitch decided to start. But that's where I'm at on it. I'm over it. And yeah.
Yeah. I guess like the first thing I just bring up is like, you know, I'm happy that like while we're recording this podcast, we've gotten good news about DeMar Hamlin. Like, I'm not sure if you two were watching the game when it happened. But like, I didn't see him fall because the way that the camera, it shifted to a fan right as he fell after the play. But like, as soon as they went back to the field, I saw him on the ground and I kind of saw like, I think it was a D lineman for the Bills, like just started like freaking out. Like I could tell something was like really wrong. And like, obviously you didn't think what happened. I thought it was like a bad concussion, maybe his neck, like something scary. But I mean, it was like the biggest fear that like anyone's ever seen when it comes to the NFL, and it's unprecedented. So like, I'm just more thankful that he's doing better and that he's cognitively there, like the lights are on and he's able to like acknowledge his family and acknowledge that like he's alive. Like, that's super cool. And like, it just, I think when it comes to fantasy, it's tough because like there was such like a, people were like angry at people talking about that stuff too early, or they were getting mad at tweets, and like, instead of like just like caring about what happened and like just respecting like the man lost his life on the field for a second, and they were able to, like, thank God to revive him. But it's like, none of the fantasy podcasts have put out any statements. Nobody, like, ESPN really didn't put out a good statement on how to handle this. So, like, it came into our own hands on how we wanted to handle it more than ESPN or, like, any, like, official rules, which they haven't had in place ever because nothing like this has ever happened. So, like, it was obviously kind of confusing on how we were going to handle it in the first place. And we did advise a council 2 years ago to handle decisions for unprecedented events in our league, which were the presiding like factors on how we decided how we were going to solve your guys' third place game. And whether or not everybody agrees with that, I think that that's never been what the council like represents. It's the group of the final like five guys in the draft that decide the outcome of a game. And with us switching to do a new app and everything, we're going to revisit all this, and we're going to talk about new rules. We're going to make things written and not just having to ask what rules, what rule, as we go through the season. We had a lot of things this year that we can run this league a lot better than we did this year. But I'm just like, it is just the wildest end of fantasy football that you could ever ask for. And not in a good way, but it's just like, I don't, like, God forbid it ever ends like this again. And obviously, if it was earlier in the season and we don't have the luxury of a week, it wouldn't have been in a high stakes game, you'd imagine. Like, it was week 17. They're not even going to play this game. So, like, it's so much gray area. And I'm happy we came to a conclusion quick. And it wasn't, and I'm happy you guys are sharing the pot. Like, I gave my thoughts and said that if this would have happened in the championship with me, Liam, I'd have been more than willing to give up half the money. If like, I don't, like, it just doesn't, there's no way to go about this the right way. If you guys agree with that.
I think you're right. There's no way really to go about it the right way.
There's an unfair way to do it any way you look at it. Someone's getting the short end of the stick.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that Jordan was able to offer to split the money with you, because, I mean, I've heard of other championship leagues where, I mean, like in our scenario, like say Mike Evans doesn't have 48, and like I told Liam when I was with him on New Year's Eve, I said, I would hate for this game to come down to Joe Mixon on Monday night. And like, thankfully it didn't, because it didn't cause any discussion on how to handle our game. But if it did come down to that, like, I mean, I would have probably offered to split the money, because there just really isn't no fair way to do it. Like, and there's never been a game canceled mid-game and not played. So hopefully it just never happens again and we don't have to discuss it, but at least we can put something into place for the future. And maybe the precedent that we just set with the whole, the game's going to stand as it is because the game's not going to be played. But at least you guys came to a conclusion on how to handle it between you and Jordan, rather than a league deciding that, hey, Jordan's going to win this money and you're just, you know, it's too bad. Because the whole situation sucks. Everything, the circumstance and the result just sucks.
So I just want to say, obviously, thank God Hamlin's okay and like breathing somewhat of consciousness, I heard. I don't know if it's true. But yeah, you know, I mean, as much as it sucked to like go through the process of dealing with it, Jordan was the bigger man. Like you said, you would be the bigger man too and split the money with Jones. Obviously, like, this has never happened before. And it's a good thing it did, in a way, just so when we do write these rules, we can write them all down. We can have everyone sign off on them before the draft even happens so that everyone agrees to it and there's zero gray area. And I'm definitely going to propose, like, for the final week of fantasy, like, where the game's, like, all the money's on the line, all the chips are in the pot. Like, if we do continue to end the year on week 17, week 18 can potentially make up that. And, like, what the stipulations are, I don't know. Some people will agree with it, some people won't. So I think splitting it this way, we don't have a precedent. This is obviously ridiculous situations, was the right way to handle
it. Last thing I'll say about this is one thing I'm going to bring up to the whole league, and I think majority of them listen to this, is that when, I don't think we will, but when we have situations where there's no precedent for anything, not even in the NFL, where something like this happens, right? I know we have that council set up, but I think when there's like no rules on anything yet, I think it's really important that we have almost like a emergency meeting, if we can, with like the entire league, and then try to come to a conclusion with all of us. That's the only proposition I want to bring to the league, is that when we don't have any rule for anything, because leaving it to five people, which is fine, they came to a conclusion, right? And we're going to roll with that. But in the future, I think that would be nice. So
is the council the last five picks or the last four picks with the commissioner?
I think it's the last five picks and the commissioner. Or wait, okay. It might be the last four. It's the last four.
Those last four.
It's the last four, but Jordan left himself unincluded in the debate because he obviously had an opinion that would have mattered towards it, yeah, because he's involved in the game. But as the council stated in their statement, that they all came to a quick conclusion and nobody disagreed. Everybody had the same thought off the rip.
So I think in the future, if the commissioner is involved, we just have the fifth pick be the like majority rule. If there was a tie, obviously there wasn't this time, but if there was, just have an odd number of people. That's an easy way to solve it. Like if there's a conflict of interest, take that person out and then go to the whatever draft pick was just out of the council, throw them in.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, this is obviously proven that we need to have a league meeting, which we've been talking about for a month now since the beginning of the season, and work some rules out and things like that. But enough of third place championship. I think how it shook up is Liam takes home first, Booby takes home second, Jordan and Zach are tied for third.
And Nick's got to wear layers.
I didn't look at the mosh pit in the middle, really. And then Nick ends up being our garbage bowl loser this year, who's, yeah, no other words besides wear layers as he gets to deal with a 11v1 paintball match. We are going to now hear from some of the managers on what their best and worst moves were coming up next on the podcast. So these recordings were sent to us via text and through our Anchor app, which we might open up to the public here in a little bit regarding some basketball topics once we get past Boom Goes the Dynamite season. But not all league members decided to send in their end of recap season short.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, Adam, Lang, Reed, Levi, we don't ask for much. We're not asking for much. It takes less than 2 minutes out of your day to do this. And we gave you days to do this. And you just don't fucking do it. And, you know, I'm going to let you hear it. Why can't we just be better? Why can't you just help us out a little bit? Because, you know, now this segment's a little incomplete and it's your fault. But, hey, we're still going to have fun with it. We'll listen to who sent theirs in, because they were genuine, nice people that followed instructions that weren't hard to follow. You know, it's not, we're not asking that you have to do it, but it would be nice. And now that you're letting, well, I'm letting you hear about it, I hope that changes in the future.
I'm just saying, for the amount of talk that Adam usually does, normally when he's winning, and then everything he said in the chat this last week, there's no way he didn't see the text that I sent about sending an end of recap thing. And the amount of times he talks, you know, when push comes to shove, obviously he's not going to be there. And he might have some choice words for me for saying that, but he's not here. Zach, do you have anything to say to the boys that didn't send it in?
I mean, it's just all the people you named aren't super active in the chat as of late. I mean, obviously the whole situation, people were active, but I mean, were they Reed Lang? Like, they're not very active in the chat. Berg, I feel like he's been out of it this season since he knew he wasn't going to compete. And who was the other guy?
Levi.
Yeah. I mean, just not active in the chat. I think that's all it is. He probably won't even listen to the podcast.
So before we start going, I checked all of the messages that you guys have sent me, and I checked the Anchor app, and these were the four that were missing. But we're going to start with our first one, and I listened to a few of these, but I have not listened to all of them. And we're going to start with our new champion this year, Liam Jones.
Well, another year in the books for the league. But this time, show me your TDs, lands on top. Looking back on the year, starting with my draft, I was neglected, said to be the worst team in the league, but, you know, that never affected me. I was always, like, I had good feeling about my team, you know, and a lot of people didn't, and that's okay, because some people in this league knew that I wanted to go 3-3 until Hopkins was back, and then I would make some trades. And knowing that I needed to make those trades, I waited my turn until I was 3-3, needed Hopkins back, and boom, made my trades to Lang. And I think that was one of the biggest turning points in my year this season, you know? You know, snagging St. Brown and Mixon. Obviously, Dak didn't turn out the best, but he did what he needed to do. I had a lot of boomer bust players on my team, and they came out to play, man. You know, I lost the last three games going into the playoffs, but it didn't matter. I made it into the playoffs, and I won it through. My team, you know, They made me proud. Obviously, you know, Mike Evans, just a huge boom in the championship, was a huge, huge accomplishment. Needed him to come out and play, especially with Hopkins out in the championship. I knew and I felt like I was in huge trouble. I told Dylan congrats, because I even thought that he was going to win for sure. But my team said, no, sir. They said, let's go win us a fucking championship, coach. Like, we want to win you a championship. You deserve it. It's time to put the rest of the teams in the rear view mirror. And that's what happened.
Liam Jones, everybody.
I expected it to be worse, but, I mean, damn. I mean, he kind of hit everything on the head. He made moves he needed to make, and he had all the boom players in the world, it felt like.
I told him on New Year's Eve when we were together, when he told me congrats in person as well. He texted it in the chat before I saw him, and I saw him in person. He said, yeah, man, I don't feel good. And I said, you know what, man? You know what that means? You're in prime position to break my fucking heart. You're in prime position for some stupid shit to happen, and I'm going to lose. And you won't even worry about the fact that you said this. And you know exactly that happened. And it sucks. That was painful.
What a thorough analysis of the season, though. I really do appreciate that there, Liam. And well-deserved, as yours was the longest one sent in by everybody. And, yeah, you were the champ, so why not? Other comments I have towards that is just the D-Hop move. I think he's really good. The only thing I'm going to say is I think his production was a little more than expected, just because literally when he went in, Hollywood Brown went out. And Hollywood Brown was doing what D-Hop was doing exactly before he left. So I thought that was just an interesting point to kind of bring up there. Would have been interesting to see those two play fully healthy right off the bat. So congrats, Liam. Any last thoughts on Liam's statement?
No.
So we move on from person who won the league to the next person that scored the least amount of points in the league but made the playoffs and said he was never going to complain about fantasy ever again. That's Joel Lepons. Here's his statement.
My best and worst move this year of the 2022 fantasy football season, was one. I wouldn't say there's one particular move, but I just didn't have the greatest trades this year. Kind of not usually a trade player, and, you know, I learned my lesson this year. So that's that. And then my best move, I would say, was honestly, man, just get lucky.
That was the last part, just get lucky.
I mean, yeah, the luckiest season of all time. Kudos.
I don't have much to add. I will say his trade of Najee for Amari Cooper I thought was his best move. But yeah, no doubt.
I wonder if this year, he said he's not normally a trade player. He doesn't normally trade with people. I wonder if next year that'll affect him, remembering that, you know, some of the trades he made this year obviously did not go his way. So I think everyone agrees with that statement. Couldn't ask for much more than Mr. DePines right there. We're going to move on, though, to a player that was really high in the beginning and then we didn't hear much of late on in the season. Here's Vertsy.
What's up? It's Vertsy with the Piss Puppies post-Packer game, so I'm sorry for the hoarse voice. Overall, of the year, I thought the draft went very well for myself. I was happy with where I was at. And started the season off great, 5-1, you know, middle of the pack in scoring, not too bad. And then kind of went through a couple bad weeks in a row, losing by point, less than 1 point to Zabo, then losing by 2 point something or three to Joel. Just kind of put me in panic mode, and then being too aggressive on the trade market. It's something that I'm going to get better at next year. And congrats to Jones. That's all I really got to say. I'm happy for him. Congrats to the league on a great year. And I'm looking forward to competing with you guys again next year.
Vertsy, everybody.
That was heartfelt. I like the end.
I'd say the Piss Puppies did not stay relaxed. And like he said, he traded a lot. So.
But that last part of his statement is the reason why we play this fantasy football league. But
the Piss Puppies basically became a dog that the family was going on vacation for 2 weeks and they came to the front door. That's the best way to sum it up.
That's a great analogy there. Yeah, sure. That was great.
And they quite literally pissed themselves.
Yeah, I mean, Bertie had a decent year, especially in the beginning. I wonder what would have happened if you kind of hung on to some of those guys. You never know.
He won the Week 5 championship. Tell him that.
Won Week 5 championship. But the next guy we're going to bring up is our tight end university manager, who is a tight end university no more. Nick, everybody.
I'm going to take this time to talk about my season as a whole, because I did a lot of things wrong and, you know, a couple good things. Started off with a shitty draft, a lot of shitty picks, and some bad luck throughout the season. You know, some close losses, but that's fantasy. You know, at one point, I thought I made a trade to turn my season around. Clearly, it didn't make a difference, because after that, Cooper Kupp was out for the year. I thought I did a good job on waivers, though. It's pretty easy to do a good job on waivers when you have the first priority, I think, literally every week of the year. Just in general, shit season. I'm not going to put it all on bad luck. I did a horrible job drafting, and it just started me off poorly. And when I thought things were going to turn around, they didn't. So have fun shooting paintballs at me, assholes.
Nick, everybody.
Not to toot my own... like horn here, but like, I mean, I'm close with Nick, and me and him have a lot of discussion through the year, but if you go back and listen to the post draft and you listen to me in your interview, Mitch, that ended the episode, I said that Nick was the worst draft in the entire league. Just want to say it.
I kind of see where you're going with that, Dylan, because you had Kyle Pitts, and that was literally his third pick, and the rest is history.
I mean, it wasn't just that. Like, there was like Rashad Penny, and he took like AJ Dillon early, and it was just like a bunch of guys. I was like, I don't know, dude. You learn your own lessons, and then you see people do the same thing, and like, you don't know until you know.
You don't know until you know, and I think he
You
definitely.
don't know until you know.
I think he hit it on the head with just his draft to start out because I just think he was. I don't think it was necessarily a bad draft strategy. I think it just turned out bad. I really mean that because in a different year, if he would have picked Mark Andrews and Travis Kelce over Kyle Pitts, I mean that would have been a great duo at tight end for the first 5, 6 weeks of the season. Like he was doing really good, so. I just think he was really aggressive on the guys that he wanted and kind of took some flyers early to go, you know what? I'm going to take some flyers. And if it works out for me, it works out for me. And it just obviously did not.
And the trade he was alluding to was me and his trade, where I gave him Fournette and Hockenson and Thielen for Kelce and Carter. Yeah, he lost Kelce, and Kelce was great all year up until the last 2 weeks of the season. Literally, his team looked like it had turned a corner because ETN started heating up, and then Cooper Kupp like died. Well, not actually, but like his
His
season
fantasy
was
value.
done. And it just tanked his team. He lost everything after
Yeah.
that.
I will say this. Nick, you are handling taking last better than I would. So applaud you for that.
Agreed.
And I'm going to save this last one for the end. We're going to talk about ours first since we're on here. Zabo, I was going to have you start. Based on your year, was there one or a set of moves that we either propelled you to be in the playoffs and make third place, or that you thought you could have changed differently, a trade that didn't happen? I'm gonna let you kind of elaborate on your season for a quick minute.
I honestly think that I drafted really well. I liked my trade with Vertz. The thing that I will say, like, just didn't get, like, took away all my juice when you have a consistent team. I started off the year pretty hot. Then I started just to die off because I didn't have that consistent flex that Dylan would knock on my team week in and week out. And that was Deontay Johnson in the third round. That killed me. So, those first three picks are crucial. Luckily, I mean, Deontay wasn't as bad as Kyle Pitts, but he was a borderline flex. And when you have a borderline flex in your top three rounds, like, I can't even imagine what it felt like having Najee in the first round for Joel. I couldn't imagine what that would feel like. I would die on the inside, I think. Or just having a player like Cooper Kupp, like you trade for him after dealing with Kyle Pitts and then lose him for the year, like, that's tough. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, I mean, I just remember talking with you about Deontay Johnson. I bring pretty much every week after week two. It was always, do you want him? Do you want him? I was like, hell no, hell no, hell no. So he got targets, he did. I will give you that, but yeah, no one wanted him. So.
Yeah, I mean, like he kind of just said, like I did knock him for not having like a consistent second flex, and I wanted Deontay Johnson. I was pissed when Zach took him, so I don't know. It just the Steelers sucked offensively this year.
A little bit better
Anybody?
now. Kenny Pickett is picking it up.
And Najee didn't have a horrible year. It just was the value you took him with was
100%.
not. Was not what you wanted. He was a great RB2. I
100%.
will. He was a great RB2 all year. But like, that's not what you drafted him to be, and it kind of hurts.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with that statement. But Zach, I
Wait, did
appreciate.
that make sense to bring that up right there? Oh, I mean, I guess we were talking about the Steelers. I was gonna say Zach never had Najee.
Well, he was just talking about how he couldn't imagine having Najee when he did because he couldn't imagine
Yeah. Okay. 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 Okay.
Andrew Johnson.
Yeah.
But we appreciate you sharing your piece on your season. I'm sure some of the guys will give us not some trash talk, but just bring it up in the chat later on. Booby, would you like to share a little bit on your season
I mean, yeah, I guess like it's kind of hard for me to say I went wrong somewhere. Like I kind of made it to where the goal is. It just like didn't get done. Like I don't know. Like I guess like it's hard because I kind of think that I lost just because like my players just didn't have this the like average weeks that they were having all year. Because like Garrett Wilson was very good with Mike White under center, and like I took a chance with him in the semifinal with Wilson, which was oh my God, that was the worst game to watch with playoff implications on the line. And but like I mean he didn't play well last week, and then I shouldn't have played Lockett, like I said, coming off of a hand surgery, but it was just like Lockett had like a special piece of my heart this year because nobody believed in him, and I took him really late in the draft, and he ended up being what he is every year, which is just a good fantasy football player. And both the trades I made this year, I mean, I acquired Travis Kelce and CeeDee Lamb. When you see a guy acquire two first slash second round picks to add to their already like one of the best teams in the league. I mean, I had the best record from like week, I want to say 8 or 9 on out. So, I mean, I'm just bummed. I don't really have any regrets. We already talked a little about my Lamar Jackson trade, and I think I won that trade, but it just, the last week of the season didn't go my way, and it's unfortunate. It's
I think your
best way I could
season,
sum it up.
I think your season is just the classic case of fantasy football. You had a great draft, you did what you needed to do, but you felt like you said, consistent weeks, we needed that push. Justin Fields was Justin Fields for 2 or 3 weeks. You took a chance, you still made it there, and it just happened that he was hurt and didn't perform. I really think that was just a form of fantasy football that you can't get away from.
And a classic, for some reason every year somebody in the championship puts up over 45 points with one player.
So, appreciate
My
you.
only comment on Dylan's team was trusting a Bears quarterback in the playoffs with the matchups he had. That's about it. Everything else he did was really good.
But
Fair.
yeah, it was either that or hurt Lamar Jackson or Deshaun Watson. So,
Exactly. One quick thing I can just kind of remember, the Kenneth Walker pickup, also mid-season or early on in the year.
forgot to mention that. Yes, that was. If you, the craziest thing is that Liam dropped him.
Yeah, I remember that. So appreciate you saying your piece for this season. I'll be quick with mine. I've been thinking about this for a while, hence bringing up the question, everybody.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Okay, I'm not saying it.
I'm kidding. I'm
Oh,
kidding.
not
I'm
saying it.
kidding. No, you have to.
Nope.
I'll leave right now. Oh, I'll leave right now if you don't
Well,
say it.
I'll do it by myself.
Leave right now. Well, you better do it. Like, I'm literally grabbing the mouse.
The area where I thought that my season could have taken a turn for the better, I don't think I had a horrible season because I was putting up decent amount of points, was two spots. One, not selling high on Clyde Edwards-Helaire after the first 3 weeks of the season where he put up 17, 21, and 24. And then the second part of it being not trading away Hollywood Brown when people ask me about him. I feel like those two things, I don't regret taking Josh Allen as a second round pick. I don't regret really taking Zeke because that's who all the hell was available and all that other stuff. I don't regret taking my receivers because Russell Wilson, no one expected him to be this bad or that bad. So I had Courtland Sutton to start the year. So I don't, the rest of my draft, I wasn't really too shabby about or didn't really care for, but not selling on Clyde Edwards-Helaire and not trying to trade Marquise Brown when I did.
It's
Those are my regrets.
crazy. It's crazy actually that I look back and like I pushed you for Hollywood hard. I
I
really
know.
wanted him bad. I offered Levi the day of the trade deadline. I offered him Tyler Lockett and Keenan Allen for Jaylen Waddle. That's it. That trade would have sucked. There was also another trade that isn't popping in my head right now that I remember looking like 3 weeks later. I'd be like, that would have been a disaster if I did that. I had a lot of trade ideas this year, and the ones that didn't fall through, like, would have killed my team.
Yeah, 100. I think you threw Garrett Wilson in there even for.
I threw it. Yeah, Adam was pissed. He said that it was a horrible trade for me to offer Garrett Wilson for DeAndre Swift straight up. Yeah, and that was trade deadline.
Adam's stuff to trade with. We know this.
I mean, Garrett Wilson then became like a top 20 wide receiver every week after he said that until Zach Wilson stepped back in.
Well, honestly, we talked about how Chris Olave was such a good rookie receiver. I'm pretty sure Garrett Wilson had a better year throughout.
It remains to be seen who ends up the best out of the class, but Garrett Wilson by far had the best rookie year.
Yes, I will say that.
Led in yards, receptions, touchdowns, 100%.
I would say Chris Olave had a very solid year, though, especially in the beginning of the year.
He doesn't have anything to work with. At least Mike White and Joe Flacco were able to give Garrett Wilson production. Andy Dalton and Marcus Mariota / Desmond Ridder weren't it.
All right, so I want to say Drake London. Now, I'm going to throw my, just to be devil's advocate, I think Drake London is going to end up being the best receiver. Didn't have the best year, but – I mean, if we're going to argue Chris Olave or Garrett Wilson, like obviously with Garrett Wilson, it was more impressive because Olave didn't have Mike Thomas or Jarvis there for most of the year. So he was the only target. Like he really was. And like he got to work with Andy Dalton, who's serviceable. He had a couple of weeks over 30 points, which was so stupid. If you streamed him in the waiver wire, you were jacked. But Drake London literally was by himself with Marcus Mariota, who was running the ball for some reason a lot. And the Falcons ran the ball the most in the league, so they didn't really throw it. So if Falcons get a quarterback, who knows? I think Drake London will end up being the best.
Who streamed who off the waiver wire?
Andy Dalton. If you streamed Andy Dalton, he had a few weeks over 30.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just look, Garrett Wilson going into week 18, 74 catches, 1,014 yards.
That's insane for a rookie. That's great production. It's exactly what you want, especially – and he has bad quarterbacks too.
Zach Mike Wilson.
Solid. Dude, Zach Wilson, dude. Holy shit.
I know. We got to move on, though. We're not talking about Zach Wilson. Zach, did you have anything to say real quick about what I said about my team or no?
Yeah, I would just say you can never – like with Levi, if you have running backs like that, you just got to change. Like I understand you traded Eckler for Diggs, the – pair with
Jerick McKinnon.
McKinnon the dog.
If I would have had Jerick McKinnon during the playoffs, I'd win the league.
Jerick McKinnon did that when it didn't matter anymore for Mitchell, unfortunately. If you had him in the playoffs, he's a league winner. But for the season, it just was awful.
I just can't believe also I won a game starting two Chiefs running backs. But we're done with that. I have one more recording here I want to play. Before, do we want to talk about any of the guys that didn't send anything in or did they not even get the good grace of hearing that?
They don't get the good grace of hearing that.
All right. The last one that we're going to end with, third place finisher, our commish, Jordan Krieger. Here we go.
And first off, it wouldn't be right for me to start this without giving a shout-out to Levi and Verts. You know, they're a big part of the reason I made my comeback to win seven games in a row and make it to a semifinal. One of the best runs the league's ever seen, so I can't be too upset about it. My second of the likes of which. Draft was okay. You know, I had a lot of depth for the full season due to my draft, but my stars weren't getting it done, so took care of that. And yeah, Jalen Hurts going down at the start of the at the semifinal game is absolutely the crusher. I'd be in the championship. Had a chance to win, probably would have lost in the championship anyway, but you know, it hurts to see a guy to go down like that, best fair player in fantasy. It was a good year though. Good job, Liam.
You could tell the hurt in his voice because of Jalen Hurts. That was really the only thing that stopped him from being in that championship. No offense, Booby.
Yeah, I mean, we watched the Monday night game together, and I won on the final Colts drive because of garbage time. And, you know, like, we both took that risk watching the game together that we knew somebody was going to be devastated. And, like, I really, all I could say to him was just, like, dude, like, I'm like, kind of sorry, but, like, I gotta go try and win this thing, you know? I mean, dude, this is the second time he's done this where he just runs the table at the end of the year and sneaks into the playoffs and finishes top four. It's pretty remarkable.
I'd say honestly, like Jordan saying he had a good draft, I'd say is false. I mean, if anything, he was manager of the year making the moves he did with the big names he had just not producing. So hats off to Krieger, managing wise. I mean, no hard feelings with how the third place game ended. It was ridiculous. Probably will never see anything like it again in terms of how fantasy leagues end.
No. The amount of moves that he made with the right people for him, he shout out Levi and Virts making those trades. I give you props for that, Jordan. You definitely I wouldn't say took the risk, but you made a lot of pieces move and ended up actually getting a few back, which was kind of interesting, which was kind of cool to see though. But I will say this, Eagles had a good year, so Jordan had a good year. I mean, he was putting up points in the beginning, not winning, and then all of a sudden he started winning.
Also, I want to point out all the teams that did make like big trades this year made the playoffs.
Yeah, except for Lang. Lang was on the wrong side of the trade.
Right. But I'm just something to think about for the teams that didn't trade or weren't very active in the trade market that didn't make it. Every single team that made the playoffs made trades.
Yeah. That gives us our conclusion for Boom Goes the Dynamite season
Eight.
eight. Season eight. And this one's got a little asterisk on it, not for anything that happened before, but just for a season with a podcast on it. And I think every week except for two were covered by episode, but we eventually covered all that had happened throughout the year in this podcast. When we're gonna get a little sentimental here when we're 40. Hopefully you can come back and listen to some of this, and that'll be kind of cool to listen to previous leagues and things like that. However, this won't be the last time you hear from league members throughout the year before next fantasy football season. Mine, Boobies, and Zach's job is going to be to kind of go through the different episodes we had and hopefully come together and talk about some of the things that people said early, such as Lang and the Raiders winning the AFC. Block, props to you. They did not. So I know he had a big bet on that.
Didn't even come close.
No, didn't even come close. You guys have any closing remarks in regards of the league before we get into other stuff?
I honestly think as long as we make a set of rules and people sign off on it, I think everything will go smoothly and we switch apps, and then I think a lot of people will be happy.
Yeah, we just gotta get our shit together. I will say, not gonna name names, but man, oh man, was there just some absolute incompetent managing this year. And if you think that statement applies to you, then figure your shit out. Let's run it back year nine. I got something to play for still. Let's fucking do it.
I want you to tell me right now who your names were.
Nah.
Why? We get to sit up here and talk about
Nah,
who.
because I'm not going to tell who needs to get better because they know who they are and they can understand what they did wrong and reflect on it and hopefully come with some better skills next year.
Whatever. Nonetheless, hopefully those of you that listened and were following along with our fantasy football journey, you liked our content. We're going to try to keep doing this and get better at it. But that's not the end of the episode. We're still going to talk about more sports because this is not just a fantasy football podcast. That's just what it started out as. We're going to get into some basketball talk here in a little bit. We'll do cover the playoffs, obviously, when they pop up. But that's what's next here on the podcast. After further discussion between podcasts.
It's late. It's late right now. Like we do need to get our shit together. Let's be clear on that. But I mean, this is a great episode, and like we have a whole, I mean, what fuck? We're not gonna do the draft until late August, early September. No, late August. I mean, we got a whole 8 months of just talking sports. We'll recap everything you need to hear about what's happened the last couple of weeks across the sports world. We're gonna talk some hoops. We're gonna talk some hoops.
We've got a good conversation going in a group chat of guys that we got. That's definitely going to be more active now and probably will be part of the podcast coming up here shortly. So
Yeah, we'll be having people on. It does you They didn't have to be in the league, just anybody that's willing to come on and talk some sports. You're more than welcome. We extend our invitation to you, and we welcome us to you.
And as Zach D clothes himself and
Vid podcast.
gets ready to hop into bed, that is Come On Dude signing off.
Peace.
Peace out.
We get it almost every night, and when that moon gets big and bright, it's supernatural delight. Every border was dancing in the moonlight. Everybody here is out of sight. Everybody here is out of sight. They don't bark.